Alvina McCann, our Father, King. Father, we thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for your word, Father. And that, Father, we thank you that you are watching over your word, Father, to perform it in our lives. Father, we thank you for what we're going to learn today, Father. And we just ask you and thank you that we, Father, are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word as well. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, I've been praying, been wanting to teach on this for a while. And I'm getting back on the covenant relationship series because I think it's important that we understand how a community should function. And one of the things I want to share today is called Tithing as a Torah Principle. You know, it's funny, I kind of get a chuckle because you have the church on one hand saying you don't need to do the Torah, but you have to tithe. And then you got the Messianic saying you don't have to tithe, we're not under that anymore, but you have to do the Torah. It's like, you know what? It's not pick and choose. Okay, either we're obedient to the whole word of God or we're not obedient. You know, so we're both guilty of trying to make excuses why we don't have to do something instead of saying, Father, whatever you say, I'll do. And I think these scriptures will bless you because these are Yahweh's instructions to Israel. Okay, if we claim to be Israel, then he is speaking to us. Okay, again, it's not a pick and choose. Okay, and I know there's people out there that have abused the tithe. Okay, but Yahweh, it is his principle for Israel. Why? So his kingdom can go forth on this earth. And so that you will be blessed. Okay, so we're going to go again. Tithing goes all the way back even before the Torah of Moses. Okay, it begins with Abraham. Again, we say Abraham is our father. Hallelujah. Because all Israel comes from the loins of Abraham. Go to Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Rabbi Scott's going to help me read the scriptures. Because I have to get new glasses and things are a little blurry today.
My glasses
up. Yeah. I'm glad you have them.
Just things are a little blurry.
Hallelujah.
Genesis what?
Genesis 14, 18 to 20. And I gave you a photocopy of my notes too, so you can... If you could read my scribble. I put them down here, so put them right here.
Oh.
Where'd they go?
Nope.
Well, anyway, they were there. Okay. They might have, got moved someplace. That's all right. You'll fall. Right. And speak loud so we can get you
okay.
In.
Then the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh when I am honored through Pharaoh.
Well, Genesis, are you in Genesis? Genesis.
Oh, I'm in Exodus. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I've done that. Hallelujah.
Genesis 14.
Genesis 14. Genesis chapter 18. 14, verse 18, starting with 18.
Right.
And I didn't have a chance to type these notes up, but I will type them up and email them to you because it's important that you go home and you read over these scriptures as well, because especially I know. Tithing can be the biggest issue for a lot of people because there's a fear there that of giving. Okay, but when God tells you to do something,
do it.
He's gonna bless you. Right. You know, and it takes faith to do what God's told you to do. Hallelujah. So we go back to Abraham, our father Abraham, as he's called. Hallelujah. Genesis 14 to 18.
Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest of God, Most High, and he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram, of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands and given you a tenth of all.
It says, and he gave him, Abraham, a tenth of all. Okay, so it shows that they, you know, Abraham back then knew the principle of tithing. And even you can even go farther back to Cain and Abel, where they knew the principle of giving because Abel gave the correct gift and Cain didn't. Well, how did they know that unless God instructed them that there was a right way to give and a wrong way to give? Okay? And again, giving is should be out of our love for Yahweh.
Amen.
Okay? And God will meet you where you're at. But I guarantee you, I mean, we're going to look through scriptures, and I want to get ahead of myself, but the purpose of the tithe is not so Rabbi and I could have a mansion. I know I've seen some of these preachers out there that they've got multi-million dollar mansions. It's like, to me, that's ridiculous. It's like, how big of a house do you need?
Right.
I mean, really, you know. But that's
our house
not the tithe
is plenty
for.
To clean. I don't want it anymore.
The tithe is so the kingdom of Yahweh will go forth. So the widows and the orphans will be fed.
Amen.
So that there will be meat in his house. What's meat? Meat is his word. Okay? So that you will, and so his ministers will be taken care of and not work 80 hours a week. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Okay. Go to, again, tithing was practiced, again, 430 years prior to the law of Moses. Okay? Go to Genesis, we'll stay in 14, we actually read that already. Go to 28:22 in Genesis. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You know, again, I've seen, you know, I like what Rabbi Emanuel calls it, Facebook University. You get these people on there, and it's like, they're so proud, they're Torah observant. And they're so proud to tell everybody, you don't have to tithe anymore. I go, excuse me. I says, you're Torah observant, and you're saying that this is a Torah principle. This is in the Torah, and there's no way in Scripture. I've been reading the Scriptures for 40 years, and I have not seen one Scripture where it says, you don't have to tithe.
Amen.
It's not in the Word. Okay? Again, Rico brought it up when he was here last week, and I didn't say anything to him. Again, it's a tithing principle. He's able to be in full-time ministry because people support him financially. Okay, he's got thousands of people, you know, that support him. But how much more should you be supporting the place that God has given you so you can grow for him? Hallelujah. You know what? You can't outgive God.
Amen.
Period. You know, you cannot outgive God.
Right.
He's not going to let you outgive him.
Amen.
Okay, 28, verse 22.
And this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be Yahweh's house. And of all that thou doest, give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee.
Hallelujah. So here, Jacob is saying again, he's setting aside the stone, the future place where Yahweh's house is going to be. Again, Jacob. Before the Torah, Moses knew the principle that 10%, the tithe, belonged to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. It honors him. It's his love for you. And if you hold it back, you know, we're going to see in Scripture that money's cursed.
Yep.
It's considered unclean.
Yep.
Okay? And again, I'm not saying this to bring condemnation. I'm saying this because I want to see you blessed. I want to see you walk in the fullness and anointing of Yahweh that he has for you. Because again, we were there. We were where you were. It was like, you know, in their minds, like, well, if we tithe, we're not going to be able to pay our bills. You know, and so we didn't tithe, and guess what? We couldn't pay our bills.
Yep.
You know, and the Father just convicted us, you trust me or you don't trust me.
Right.
You know, because that 10% belonged to him, and 10%
right.
is before the IRS takes their cut.
Right. That's
okay.
on your gross,
That's
not your net.
The first fruits. The first fruits.
It's
the
true.
First belongs to Yahweh.
Right.
And it's faith. It's like, Father, I trust you.
Amen.
And you'll do more with that 90% than you ever would do holding on
Amen.
To that 10%.
Amen.
When we did that, we just started seeing God turn things around.
Right. He gave me more work, and we had more money. Well, we were more happy to give that 10%. And it was like, wow, look what he's doing.
Amen.
He was blessing us. He was blessing that money. I was working at McCormick Place. I was getting on the biggest jobs in the place. He was putting me in contact with people that were going to bless me. And it was just fantastic. I came home and I couldn't. You know, wait to tell you what was going
on. You know, we don't give to get. We give because we love God.
Right.
Period.
Right.
You know, it's like because we want to be obedient to him. Again, how can we say we're Torah observant if we don't tithe?
Amen.
Then we have no right. Yet the church will say you don't need the Torah. Yet they'll operate in Torah principles and they tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So again, it's God's economy to make sure that his word goes forth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to see that tithing, let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. Hallelujah, thank you, Father, for my eyes are healed. Hallelujah.
Amen. You just weren't sleeping good the last few days. You're okay. You're healed in the name of Yeshua.
Matthew 7. I'm sorry, Hebrews 7. Beginning with verse 1 to verse 11.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Elohim, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, who also Abraham appointed a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace.
And again, Salem is Jerusalem, and King of Righteousness, actually Melchizedek is a type of Messiah.
Amen.
King of Righteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 3.
Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning or end, life but not made like the Son of Elohim, he abides priestly perpetually. Now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren, although these are descendants from Abraham. But the ones whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And in this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And so to speak, though Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes. We pay tithes. For he was still in the loins of his father, which is Melchizedek, met him. Now, if the perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of this, the people received the law, or in other words, the Torah, which further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be designated according to the order of Aaron.
So we're gonna look through some of these scriptures in Torah again. That tithing is a Torah principle. Okay, again, we don't pick and choose what scriptures we want to obey. If we're Torah observant, then we're gonna do what the Torah says.
Amen.
Okay.
God
and again,
said it,
that's
so
between
we do it.
You and God. I don't want you coming up to me and saying, "Oh, Rabbi Deborah, I can't." You know what? That's between you and God.
Right.
I don't. You know, I can't do it. It's like that's between you and God. Hallelujah. I'm believing God that 100% of the people tithe here. Why? So we can do what God's called us to do. That's the whole purpose. And when we give the tithe, you're not giving it to man. If you give it with the attitude that you're giving it to us, it's not going to be blessed. You are giving it unto Yahweh. And I know one of the things, too, that you know, a lot of messianics, and I need to bring correction in some in areas, is that, you know, they say, well, you know, you're not supposed to buy and sell on Shabbat, and you're not supposed to, you know, give tithes on Shabbat. Did you know the sacrifices were 24/7? That even on Shabbat, the sacrifices were going on?
Amen.
Read your scripture. The Father showed that to me in the Torah.
Right.
Okay? Again, and when I was thinking about that, I said, Father, you got to show me in the Torah. Show me in the Word. That should be our the first thing that comes out of our mouth when somebody says something that doesn't sound right. Show me where's that in the Word. And
right.
If they can't show you where it is in the Word, then say, okay. So I prayed, Father, show me, you know, because he kept on, you know, the other thing, you know, the sacrifices, because I think, well, the sacrifices were going on. Isn't that work? You know, and he showed me in scriptures where there was a 24/7 watch where the sacrifices went on. So the Father spoke to my heart, and he says, when you're giving your tithes and your offerings, you know, he says, you are not buying anything from me, and I'm not selling anything to you.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? It's not buying and selling. You are giving.
Amen.
It is worship. It
Amen.
Is an act of worship.
Amen.
Father, you know, I love you. Thank you, Father, for that you saved me, that you healed my body. Thank you
Amen.
For what you have done for me.
Amen.
You know, it's saying, Father, thank you for this job.
That's
you know, thank you that, you know, I'm blessing you back.
Amen.
You know, thank you for blessing me. Hallelujah. So we see that it's commanded. Go to Leviticus 27:30. Again, everything we do for the Father should be out of an attitude of love. I remember I have to chuckle this one brother I knew years and years ago. I came from a Catholic background, and he was sharing when he first learned about tithing. He says, well, I remember when I was a Catholic, he says, and they passed that offering basket, and I put my $5 in there, and he says, and I'd watch it as it went all the way. It was like, you know, anyway, he was like, there goes my $5, you know. But then he learned about tithing and realized it was a joy, but again, because he didn't, you know, understand it, his heart was still where his money was going, you know, as he watched it disappear.
His heart was with his money,
right,
not with the right attitude to give it, because God said to give it. We don't give so that we could have anything, or we don't give, well, God will bless me if I give, and I need this. And it's like, don't give with the wrong attitude. Give because God said so, number one. And number two, because you love him and he said it, so you do it. That's all there is to it.
Let's go to Leviticus 27:30.
What'd you say, I'm
sorry? Leviticus 27, verse 30.
Let everybody get there.
Raise your hand when you
do. When y'all get there, raise your hand.
All right, Leviticus 27:30.
Thus, all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is Yahweh's. It is holy to Yahweh. And
we see that the tenth, again, we're not farmers, but our job is we get paid for doing a job, a labor, okay? Just the same thing with, you know, they were an agricultural society, so they tithed, you know, from their agriculture, okay? But the same way we tithe out of the blessings that the Father's given me, it belongs to him. He says, the tenth is mine. It belongs to me. Okay, I'm showing you what the scripture says. Yeah. If you want to argue, argue with God.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
argue with me. I'm just telling you because I want you to see what the Word of God says. And yes, it takes faith. And yes, you're going to have a battle with your mind. Right? We've been there. We know what you're going through.
Yep.
You know, but it's trusting God. That's why you need to get into the scripture. You need to see what the scripture says, not what I'm saying, but what the Word of Yahweh says. Because really, tithing is a love issue. It really is. It's saying because I love you, Father. Hallelujah. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Now we know again that this is the church's favorite scripture for giving, even though they say we don't have to do the Torah. So how much more of us who say that we should do the Torah should be obeying the principle of tithing? Malachi 3. Beginning with, and I know this is Rabbi Scott's favorite scripture, so don't start preaching. Okay, Malachi 3:10.
Well, it's not my favorite, but it's one of them. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows.
Amen. Then go to verse 11.
Then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, or the devil, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says Yahweh of hosts.
Verse 12.
And the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says Yahweh of hosts.
Hallelujah. The Father, you know, again, you know, people say, well, that pertains to Israel. Well, aren't we Israel? Hallelujah. Again, the nations will see that we are blessed. And again, blessing in the Hebrew mindset is not having a Rolex watch and a pinky diamond and a Mercedes Benz. Okay, that's being blessed.
And an Armani suit. You forgot the Armani suit.
Yes, the Armani suit. Hallelujah. Being blessed is seeing your children come to Yahweh.
Amen.
Seeing that God gives you favor in your job, that your bills are paid, that you're walking in divine health.
Amen.
That, you know, that you are growing, that you are, you know, in the Word of God, and you are understanding that Word, and you are, there's
prospering.
So much more to the blessings
in
of
all
Yahweh.
Things.
Amen. And we're not preaching a prosperity gospel. We're preaching obedience to Yahweh because
right.
we are accountable to do that, whether people like it or not, whether people get offended or not. I'm showing you what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Again.
And where it says, you know, so that there will be meat in my house. This is Yahweh speaking. This is so that there will be money enough to go out and take the number one thing that needs to be done is feed the widow and the orphan.
Amen.
And to take care of those that cannot take care of themselves. Not so that we can have it, but so that we can delegate it to things that need to be done. And this is going to be done by your tithe.
And, you know, the Father, you know, He takes care of us.
Yep.
You know, we've never, in the 10 years we've had this congregation, we've never harped on tithing because that's real sensitive to, you know, offending people. And the Father said, you tell them what my Word says. You know, because this is one of the topics that people will get very offended about, especially in the Messianic movement. Okay? And it's, you know, again, you can see, and it really gets me mad because I'm thinking, you know, you claim to be Torah observant, yet you are looking for loopholes in the law so you don't have to obey. Aren't you being hypocritical? You're condemning your brother who is tithing in the church because they don't do the Torah, yet you're proud that you're doing the Torah and you're not tithing. It's like, you know, come on, isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah.
You know? I think we need to start to point the fingers at ourselves first.
Isn't the last part of that word what it comes down to? Moron?
Verse five. Five purposes, okay? For tithing. Number one, to take care of the Levites and the ministers. Numbers 18. You know, again, we were part of the faith movement. We know how scriptures are twisted and how, you know, they'll manipulate people using their scriptures. That doesn't mean the scripture's not true, just because they're using it the wrong way.
Right.
Okay, and the enemy has used that to put fear in people's hearts and say, see, they just want my money. And I'm not saying this to, but if you know the amount of money we put in this ministry to keep these doors open, your mouth would drop open. You would be shocked. So we're not in it for your money, because we have sacrificed a lot to keep these doors open.
Amen.
And we are blessed to do it. And we will keep on doing it. But you know what? The part of a community is we all do our part.
Yeah.
When we're all doing our part, the community flourishes. When we all do our part, we are going to grow spiritually. When we all use our gifts, which I'll get into more, this is actually going to be maybe a three-parter. The community is blessed. Okay? And again, tithing is a love issue. It's a love issue. And if you're new to this, you know, you just get on your face and say, Father, give me the faith to tithe. Give me the faith to trust you, to know that when I honor you, you're going to take care of me. And He will, because He'll give you deals. I mean, people will just turn around and bless you. And most of the stuff that we have in our house was given to us.
Yep.
You know,
The house we live in was a blessing
right.
from God.
I mean, I call them antiques, but you know what? It's like somebody had some use for it. I'll take it. Oh, you know, it's like, hey, it's still good to me. Hallelujah. It's God's right. provision. Go to Numbers 18. Again,
what?
I'm giving you, beginning of verse 21. These are all scriptures from Torah. And somebody's saying, well, yeah, you know, that was when the temple was there. Excuse me, they were in the wilderness.
And aren't you the temple of
the
Ruach?
There was the tabernacle. Before they were even
right.
in the land, God was showing the principle of tithing. They hadn't entered the land yet in Numbers. They were in the land learning how they were to worship the Father, how they were to obey the Father. Hallelujah. Go again, Numbers 18, verses 21 to 24. I was getting excited when I was reading these. I thought, wow, Father, this is really good.
And to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe. In Israel, for instance, in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting, and the sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting again, lest they bear sin and die. Only the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to Yahweh, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel.
So the Levites were not given any land. Their inheritance was serving Yahweh. And they served Yahweh, and they were like, you know, they served Yahweh on behalf of the people. They were the ministers of the people. And God, they were to be supported financially because they didn't have any land inheritance. Okay, again, it's God, it's God's economy, God's way of his people taking care of one another. Okay, go to, again, the tithes were for the priests. Go to verse 26, that's still after chapter 18, still in Numbers. Unless you read that. Oh, you read, did you read that already?
No.
No, okay.
This is referring to the Levites. And their meat shall be yours, it shall be
verse
yours.
Verse 26.
You said 18.
Yeah, 18:26.
Okay. You didn't say that. Moreover, you shall speak to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to Yahweh, a tithe of the tithe.
Okay, so here the Levites were giving the tithe to support them, and the Levites were also to tithe from that tithe to Yahweh as well. Okay? Go to Nehemiah 10:37 or Nehemiah, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Again, in Nehemiah, we see that Israel was had been in captivity. Why? Because of disobedience to the Torah. Okay, they were put out of the land. Now they're getting ready to go back into the land because their captivity had ended.
I can't find it.
Okay, I'll read it. Okay, 10:37. We will bring the first of the dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine and the oil, to the priest at the chambers of the house of Yahweh, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites, for the Levites are they who receive the tithe in all the rural towns. So even though they were outside of Jerusalem, they were reinstating again the tithe. Okay, again, why were the Israelites, why were our forefathers kicked out of the land? Because of disobedience to Torah and following pagan ways. Again, we can't have it both ways. Either we're going to be obedient to him or we're not.
We're going to live in the world
go
and be
to,
obedient to the world.
Nehemiah 12:44.
Nehemiah.
Again, this is speaking of their back in the land. They're restoring the temple, rebuilding the walls. Verse 44.
Go ahead.
On that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruit, and the tithes to gather into them from the fields of the cities, the portions required by the Torah for the priests and Levites, for Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served. They rejoiced over their leadership. They rejoiced over the priests and the Levites because they knew that they were serving Yah on their behalf. Again, they were a type and picture of Yeshua, our high priest. Hallelujah. Tithes, then there was tithes of tithes. There's actually three tithes in the Torah. Okay, and I'll get into that later, but there was the regular tithe, there was the annual tithe, which was to take care of the three-year tithes, take care of the widows and the orphans, and again, the Levites as well. And there was also a tithe to set apart. They were to set apart for themselves so they can go to Jerusalem and rejoice. It was a vacation fund. It was God's vacation fund.
Well,
he says, here, you'll have the money.
You were supposed to be in Jerusalem three times a year. It was required.
Right. So God says, here, I'll show you how to, you know, I'll set up a vacation fund for you.
Right.
And they were
so
able
to,
and we'll see
there.
From the scriptures where they were, they gave their offerings, but they were also to rejoice and partake of those offerings. He says, you're right. To eat them, you're to rejoice, you know, because you're in the land. Hallelujah. Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Beginning with verse 27.
Go ahead. My glasses are off already.
Okay, that's okay. Also, you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your town. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the alien, the orphaned, and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied in order that Yahweh your Elohim may bless who?
Thee.
You. Thee. Me. And all the work of your hand which you do. Again, God's economy makes sure that the poor, the widows, and the orphans were taken care of. The Levites were taken care of. Okay, you also see in Ephesians 5 that you've got the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Five offices for the five books of Moses. You even have in the New Testament,
which
you
was
have
set up by
Matthew,
Yeshua.
Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Again, five. Okay, we say, what about the epistles? The epistles all took place within Acts. Okay, Acts was, again, the spreading of the news that, hey, Messiah has come. Hallelujah. And again, it's like the Levites was dependent on Yahweh to meet their needs. As they served Yahweh, Yahweh met their needs through the people. It's the same way now. You know, in 10 years, we've had this congregation for 10 years now, and most congregations, their pastor would be on salary. We haven't taken a salary in 10 years. You know, but we're believing God that we can, you know, trust because I have to be able to be in full-time ministry. Again, I cannot, you know, my sister here, you know, is in ministry as well, and she'll attest, I mean, you can, you know, get burnt out, you know, and I'm not giving you the best, but, you know, it's up to the congregation to support the ministers, okay? Again, you know,
so we can give you the food,
meat that you need, hallelujah. Right. Let's go to Deuteronomy 26. Again, it's a reaping and sowing principle.
Right.
A reaping and sowing principle is like, you know, whatever you sow, you will reap.
Right.
Okay?
And how you sow
again,
it makes a difference.
As you sow, you are going to reap. God's going to make sure you reap. Israel was blessed. I mean, if you see how, you know, again, the tabernacle is a perfect example of how they functioned as a community. And how, even when they went out of Egypt, God provided everything they were going to need to build that tabernacle. In the wilderness, because the Egyptians were saying, here, take the stuff,
just go,
you know.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 26, verse 12-14. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, and to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. And you shall say before Yahweh your Elohim, I have removed the sacred portion from my house, and also have given it to the Levite and the alien, the orphan and the widow, according to thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed or forgotten any of thy commandments. I have not eaten of it while mourning, or have I received any of it while I was unclean, nor offered any of it to the dead. I have listened to the voice of Yahweh my Elohim. I have done according to all that thou hast commanded. Look down now from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel and the ground that thou hast given us, a land flowing with milk and honey, as thou didst swear to our fathers. So here too, note the key, I did not touch what was holy to you. That first tenth is holy unto Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise God. We should be praising God that we have a job where we can tithe.
Amen.
You know, thank you, Father. In this economy today, you know what? We're not on the world's economy. We're on God's economy.
Amen.
David says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. And if we have this way, if we have a need in our community, again, I want to see the Father bless us so much that we'll, if somebody has a need, we can help them pay.
Amen.
Their bills. We can help feed people. We can help. You know, there's so much we could do, but guess what? It takes money to do it. Amen?
That's right.
They don't let us here for free. It'd be nice if they did, but they don't. The gas and the electric still has to be paid. ComEd hasn't said, that's okay, you can have it for free. You know, if we didn't pay it, guess what? We'd be like this. Or like this during the summer. Hallelujah. Did I read verse 15? Yeah, I did. Again, the purpose of the tithe is to supply Yahweh's house. Okay, this is Yahweh's house. No, it's not the temple. Okay, one day the temple will be rebuilt. Yeshua is going to rule and reign. Hallelujah. Won't that be thrilling to be able to worship him face to face with our tithes and offerings? Wow. But right now we are dispersed. We are in the diaspora. We are spread out around the world. But what did Paul say? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh? And when we are together, here together, we are the temple of Yahweh. This is Yahweh's house. That's why when we come, we need to treat his house with respect. This is the place he has given us so we could worship him, so we could learn about his Torah, so we could learn how to love one another, so we could learn how to help one another, so we could be a blessing to the place that he planted us in this part of Chicago. Hallelujah. You know, I just know that, you know, there's been so many. There's actually
great.
I had two dreams,
yeah.
You know, about
prophecies.
Us, you know, were prophecies, but you know, came in the form of a dream. Again, twice we were in this big building, and I'm dreaming. I'm thinking, what's like people clamoring
building,
to come
right?
in.
What's that big?
And I'm just
building?
Looking around. And I'm thinking, this isn't our congregation. I was like, you know, you have a dream. It's like, Father, and I had that twice, and I said, okay, you know, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's from God, he'll confirm it.
Amen.
Okay? So our sister, we have a sister that whenever she's on here for a job, she lives in Texas, she'll come here for Shabbat. She's really sweet. Tara is her name. She says, well, I wanted to tell this to you last time. She says, but, you know, I was kind of scared to tell you. I says, what? You know? She says, well, I was driving here, you know, the first time I was driving here, you know, the Father just showed me a vision. She says, there's people with standing room only. And she goes, wow, I must be going to a really big place, because he's showing her this big place, standing room only, you know. And then she walks in, and she's thinking, this is what you show. But she realized the Father was showing her something to confirm what he had shown us. Hallelujah. So again, that's why a lot of times, because that we go through tests and trials.
Amen.
Because you're getting ready for promotion.
Right.
Okay, so you persevere. Just like I'm persevering. Hallelujah. Because if you weren't a threat to the enemy, you wouldn't be having any tests and trials.
Right. That's
true.
Okay? Either we're going to trust God or we're not. Either we have, or is he going to be pleased with our faith? Why was he angry with the 12 spies went in, but with the 10? Because they didn't believe God. God says, the land is yours, go take the land. But they went in there and says, wait, there's giants in the land. You know, some of your giants may be your doctors. Who are saying, you know what, there's no cure for that.
Giants in your own personal
right.
household. You're not can't pay your bills. You can't take care of yourself. You don't have food in your refrigerator.
Hallelujah.
But
I've never seen the righteous
these
forsaken.
These could be giants.
Nor their seed begging bread.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But that all hinges on what you're teaching.
Proverbs 3. Go to Proverbs 3:19. The Father, when I first got that bad report, this is a scripture the Father gave me. And then on my birthday yesterday, when I was reading my daily scripture, this was the scripture for my birthday. So hallelujah, Father, we'll receive it. Beginning with verse 1. Hallelujah. My son, do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. We see that keeping the commandments is a heart issue. Okay. For length of days and years of life and peace shall be added to you. Hallelujah.
Proverbs what?
Proverbs chapter 3.
Oh, okay. I wonder.
Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of Yahweh and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. That's where the faith battle is.
Right.
Between the heart and your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes.
Hallelujah.
Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor Yahweh from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Hallelujah. That is Yahweh's promise. Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man. Hallelujah. That's wisdom. God said he will bless you. Again, he says, honor me with your first fruits. The first fruits, again, is before Uncle Sam gets his mitts on it.
Yep.
We don't give after Uncle Sam takes it, who uses a lot of our money for, you know, rotten things, you know. That God, we give to God first. He gets the best. He's not an afterthought. If we're giving him, if we're like, okay, paying my bills, okay, well, I got $10 left over. Okay, Father, here you go. Do you think God's going to honor that? That's an insult to our Father.
Right.
You may as well just keep it.
Right. Because he can't bless you anyway, not when you're only giving that much.
Pat, you want to say?
I'm just going to say, well, what about, you know, like you are in retirement and you get your Social Security and that. So how does that work with the government?
Tithe is the first.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, it's the first 10% of the money that comes into you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. From working, it's your, those, you know, thus at work, you have a gross. Okay? But after, you know, then the IRS, you have
to
pay all your taxes.
And the king of the country takes his cut.
So, and then you have the net. Okay? The net is what's left over after the taxes. Okay? I don't know if taxes are taken out of Social Security.
No, it's not.
We so, have to pay them. So
right, yeah. So, again, that's between you and the Father. You know, I mean, it has to be, you know, a heart issue. But I know for us, it's like, no, God gets it first.
Yep.
It belongs to him first. Hallelujah. Okay, when you brought your, another area was, again, this is the third tithe we see again in, I think I read those already. No, I didn't. Okay, go to Deuteronomy 12, 6 to 7. Okay, these are the tithes for the feasts. I believe that's what it is.
12, 6, 7.
And I'm probably going to stop after this section because I got a lot more notes, but I want to go little by little because I don't want to give you so much that you're like, bring, you know. It's better to go
through. We don't want your brains to explode. We don't want you to not come next week because you're offended, so just...
Nobody here is offended.
I know. What's this now?
Deuteronomy 12, 6 to 7. Deuteronomy.
See? It's a good thing I asked.
12.
Did you not say 4, 6, and
7? Deuteronomy 12, begin with verse 6. Okay. And again, I'll have these all typed out for you, you know, for next week so you have the notes. I just didn't have time to do it. Let's begin with verse 5. But you shall seek Yahweh at the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose for all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contributions of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the first fruit of your herd and of your flock. Then also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord has blessed you. Hallelujah. Again, he talks about the tribes to establish what? His name.
Yep.
Every place where there's a messianic congregation, okay, established, we are establishing his name here in Chicago, wherever God puts you. That's our purpose. We are establishing his name here in the land. We're taking over the enemy's territory. He says, no, this belongs
that's
to Yahweh.
That's why we get attacked.
Hallelujah. Go to 14.
That's why you get attacked.
Go to 14, verses 22 to 26.
What was it?
Deuteronomy 14,
okay.
Verse 22. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. And you shall eat in the presence of Yahweh your Elohim at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil and the firstborn of your herd and your flock, in order that you may fear, that you may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim.
Always.
Always. Hallelujah. So again, there was a tithe set apart so they can go to the feast and they can rejoice in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. God wanted to make sure that they were able, that they would get there. Number four, it belongs to Yahweh, not the people who paid them. We had one lady come up to us when we were at Amazing Grace. And she came up to me and goes, oh, I don't know, somehow we got into a discussion afterwards.
We should have known better. But.
And we'll go on and on about it. But she says, what are you doing with my money?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, I says, when you give it, it's God's money. And I says, what are we doing? I go, aren't you sitting in a place that,
meltdown in front of everyone.
Well, you know, she had anger issues, obviously, but I'm thinking.
Well, she had anger issues in her life anyway.
If you have that attitude, like, you know, again, I shared the tithes and offerings from last year around $34,000, okay, which we're able to, you know, again, pay our bills. That's nothing. Some of the churches, that's their tithe a month.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it's like, shouldn't the place where God is proclaiming the whole truth be blessed? I mean, and I believe it will. God's gonna honor it. But I look next door, you see the Baptist church next to us, those two Hugh built. That's about $1 million worth of property over there. You know,
at least.
That's because
minimum.
Their people, you know, gave because they wanted a place to be. You know, again, you see these, not, you know, we have, believe, no desire to be a mega congregation. You know, our desire is to see that if we reached 120 people, then we could spread out and start another congregation someplace else.
Right.
Okay. You know, again, a lot of these ministries are built more out of greed sometimes than truth on the word. Okay. But again, believe, you know, God, we've been, you know, we're like the children in the wilderness. I mean, we've been, you know, when we first started, we took that step of faith. We were, you know, at a church renting, you know, for 4 hours a week, you know, and by the end of three we seemed to go in threes.
Come early, set up at the end of the time we had there, and they were watching us because they didn't want us spending 1 minute.
All right. I mean, we had
more than the 4 hours we were supposed to be there.
But it was a step of faith. So, okay,
right.
Father. So, after,
right.
You know, 3 years, he said, you know, well, it's time to renew your lease. And
he's going to raise it to $1,000.
He wanted $1,000. I said, for 4 hours a week?
And he said, this is the best deal in town. I said, you know what? Yahweh's got a better deal. And he goes, what?
So
and I said, I walked out of his office.
So, you know, we left. We ended up in our garage for a while. We got three car garages. Remember those days sitting in our garage? Hallelujah. We had Shabbat in our garage, you know. And then we found this synagogue, and we sent them a letter. And
six months later,
I thought it went into the, you know, the roundup. Just before the conference, we were doing the conference. They, you know, invite us. It says, hey, yeah, you could rent from us. What do you want to pay?
Yeah. What
not,
do you want
not saying
pay?
This is what we want. What can you pay? You know, there's times that when we were having conferences, God gave us so much favor with them.
Yes.
We said, you know what? We really don't have a lot of money. That's okay. You don't have to pay the rent until you have the money. That is the Jewish mentality versus the church that says, well, you know, $1,000 for 4 hours a week. It's like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
It's like, but, you know, I believe that was God's way of moving us out of there, too.
Right.
You know.
His greed and his.
So God gave us, you know, favor.
Moved us out of there.
Gave us favor with the synagogue. We were there, 3 years? Then we had to, because they sold the building. So we had to move out. And we were in, I think, the hotel for a while. But in the meantime, we kept on looking and looking. Father, you know, thank you. And when we went past this property, I mean, this place was practically empty. The only businesses were here were the owners that owned the property.
Which are not right next
but
door.
But since we moved in, they're practically all filled up. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the blessings of God are here because we're here.
Right.
That's right.
You know,
and
there's
he
another
knows
church
that
back there, too.
Because when it comes time to renew our lease, he says, I don't want you to leave. He says, please stay. So we agreed, the board agreed, that we would renew it for another 2 years to see what Yahweh is going to do.
But in the meantime, we'll continue to spy out the land.
Right.
You know, we'll,
yeah, right.
Just like I said, I would drive around and I'd be like, oh, there's a phone number. But again, this is,
And what we had to go through to get this, we had to meet in front of the board of Hillside 3 times to get this okayed and transferred from business property to special use.
It's God's favor. Hallelujah. So let's go on. I don't want to go on a rabbit's trail there, but the reason I'm sharing is God's faithfulness.
Right.
If you are faithful, again, if every person that walks through this door would have stayed, we'd be about 100 people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's no exaggeration, because Pat's been here, Anna Marie's been here, some people have been here.
Well, Anna Marie left for a while.
But she's back. Hallelujah.
Ruth has been
Ruth.
Here.
But, it's like, and I got to the point, Father, I'm tired of this revolving door. It's like, Father, send us people that want to serve you, that want to work as a team,
that's
and want
right.
to see your kingdom come
right.
and are not offended, right. easily offended. And how
and hungry, he, number one, you know, we said that are hungry for your word.
Yes.
Number one.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And he brought you guys.
He brought you guys,
And
right.
I'll say this is the best group of people
yep.
that
yep.
we've ever had. Because it can be very discouraging at times as a leader.
Yeah.
It's like,
she said, what are we doing wrong one day? She says, are we really supposed to be doing this? And I said, yes.
But
and
see,
I said, I know how it looks. I know it's discouraging. Because I'd get just as discouraged. I think, well, you know what? You know that we were, and I said, we're going to do it, no matter what happens.
But the key is that our money belonged to God, and we were
right.
willing to sacrifice to
right.
do what we had so there would be a right. congregation in this place.
Right.
Most congregations, people who start congregations from scratch, usually fall apart within 3 years. Okay, we've been together for 10 years.
Oh.
With no outside help. A lot of churches, when they start a congregation, there's financial help. They're given, they're paying, they're helping.
The diocese or
whatever. We stepped out on faith and said, Father, you called us to do this. Our money's your money. The same thing with the conferences. Father, whatever money you give us, we'll put into the conferences. Again, I'm only saying this is because we love the Father and we love you. That, we've put, the amount of money we've put in here, we probably could have bought a Mercedes-Benz.
Oh.
But it's like we're giving
it
unto Him.
It's not an exaggeration.
And I know that that fruit, that we are going to see the manifestation of that fruit in your lives. Because it's only money. You look around how God's blessed us, gave us, again, I've gone through over that before. Well, why? Because our heart is, Father, we want to promote your kingdom. We want to bless you. Hallelujah. Again, go to
bless us back.
Again, the tithes were brought to God. Okay, our tithes are brought to Him. Go to 2 Chronicles 31. I'm going to end with, because I don't want to end with these scriptures here, because some of them I think I read already, but. We're not saying, like, I know one of the gimmicky things that, a lot of these prosperity teachers would use, and I was appalled when I would hear some of them, you give me $5,000 and God will pay all your bills. And these are from well-known, preachers, and it's like, or, you give me this money and I guarantee, you give someone to this ministry $500 and you're going to receive $5,000 back.
What did Brad say?
It was Brad or somebody else.
Yeah, it was Brad. Called us this. He says, what? You give me the $5,000 and I'll let him bless you,
No, he said, well, if you need that, if you believe that, then you give me the $500 and God
right.
will give you the $5,000.
Right.
Again, we don't use scripture to manipulate God. I'm showing you what the word says to encourage you to honor God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I know there's, those that have tithes can attest to His blessings.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I have a car that is almost 5 years. It's 5 years already, right? My car is, I have it for 5 years and never has been at the mechanic.
Hallelujah.
Never.
Wow, praise Yahweh.
Yes,
wow.
Only change of oil and tire.
Right.
You know, but that's it. Nothing
and
else.
You drive a lot. You're all over the place.
Yes.
You know how old that van was that finally died? What was it? 13 years old.
Hallelujah.
And we drove it for 13 years, but it was starting to nickel and dime us to death. And finally, it wouldn't start.
But I was kind of having fun. I thought, well, let's see how many miles. I got 130,000. Let's see how much miles we can get on this.
Yeah.
But I maxed it out. But amen, God will, you know, he will meet our needs in so many different ways.
Amen.
You know.
I'll bet you have. Remember your old car? All the problems it was giving you, and you finally you looked at me and you said that one day, she says, I got to get a new car.
Yep.
And you showed up with a new car.
God,
you know what? God honored your giving. That's why you have that new car.
Again, he gets the first. He's not, again, if we're treating him as an afterthought, okay, Father, I got the leftovers. Here you go. Don't even give it.
Right.
Because
you know what?
He's going to
treat you as an afterthought.
You know, that's not, again, we see it's a Torah principle. If we are supposed to be Torah
observant,
aren't we supposed to do what the Torah says? Again, not, you know, like, well, yeah, we're supposed to be the Torah, but, you know, there's no temple, so we don't have to tithe. You know, excuse me, there is tithing before the temple.
Yep.
Abraham knew the principle of honoring and giving back to Yahweh. Hallelujah. Our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knew the principle of giving to Yahweh. We honor him of our first fruit. 2 Chronicles 31.
Oh, I thought you were talking.
No. Then Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of Yahweh, and they prepared them. And they faithfully brought in the contributions and tithes and the consecrated things. And Coniah the Levite was the officer in charge of them, and his brother Shammai was second. So again, here we see them bringing, you know, there was a place for them to bring the tithes and offerings. Go back to Nehemiah 10:38. I think I already read these scriptures. Another principle in Leviticus 27, if borrowed, 20% interest had to be added when paid. Go to Leviticus 27:31. Again, you look at Jewish synagogues, okay? The Jewish people know the importance of supporting their synagogue. We've got examples that every time the synagogue had a need, people would donate. Here you see, presented in honor of somebody donated this. These cost about $5,000. Or chairs, some of the back of these chairs, it shows who it's donated by. You know, when there was a need, they make
sure. It says
right,
that it was donated by.
They know the importance of taking care of their synagogue, their community, because community is very important. They know that they have to survive as a community.
And yes, and Ruth, writes, when you donate the clock, you can have donated by. She asked me if I donate a new clock in the
well,
kitchen.
Well, that's
can I
not
have,
the point.
Well, I know, but she was saying.
Yeah, amen.
Just she was being funny.
But again, they know the importance of community. They know the importance of supporting the rabbi. They know the importance of taking care of the rabbi. You know, if you want to belong to a synagogue, you have to give 10% of your net worth if you even want to belong to the synagogue.
Yep.
Hallelujah. And they don't have a problem with that. It's like, hey, fine. You know, because that community is important. It's important that they're, you know, that they support their community and they support one another. You know, in the Jewish community, when people would come, from overseas to come here, that community made sure that their family was taken care of. They had a place to live. There was, I mean, they took care of one another. Shouldn't that be our attitude?
Amen.
You know, if we're a part of Israel, we can learn a lot from our Jewish brethren.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Don't think you know more.
Leviticus 27:31. Let's go back up. Let's begin 30. With verse 30. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree is Yahweh's. It is holy to Yahweh. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, he shall add to it a fifth of it. And for every tenth part of the herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, one-tenth shall be holy to Yahweh. He is not to be concerned whether it is good or bad, and shall exchange it, or if he does exchange it, then both it and its substitute shall become holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments of what Yahweh commanded Moshe for the sons of Israel at Mount Sinai. So I was just looking up in the Tanakh, or in the Chumash, the commentary on this, and what would happen is they would cause the cattle, there'd be like a door where only one cattle at a time could go in, and every tenth one they'd mark, and it'd be set aside. Every tenth belonged to Yahweh. And for this instance, it didn't matter if it was perfect or not, because it wasn't going to be used as an offering. It was going to be used to, you know, so the congregation
for
and for the congregation to, you know, to be fed. But every tenth was marked off for him. Hallelujah. And I'll get in more details next time. Hallelujah. And then verse 30. I read 33 already, but I'm gonna end here. But again, tithing is a Torah principle. It has not been done away with. Okay, I've looked up. If you can show me a scripture where it says tithing's been done away with, at least two or more, show it to me, because I can't find it. Oh. Yeshua never said it was. We're going to look at what the New Testament says about tithing. Who are the Brit Hadashah? Again, they didn't have to preach it that much because they lived it. Again, these are Jewish people who, you know, they knew that about tithes and offerings. Okay, again, the tithe, and there's another scripture. I don't know exactly where it is. But it talks about that if you withhold a tithe and you keep it for yourself, that money is cursed. Because you are taking what belongs to Yahweh.
And it also says that then you're supposed to add to it, like it says here, one-fifth. Let's say you're not here 1 week. That doesn't mean you don't tithe from that week. That means that you're supposed to tithe.
If you belong to, you know, a lot of people think that, well, I only, you know, tithe when I'm here. That's not the principle. If you belong to the congregation, you know, we still have bills whether you're here or not.
Right.
You know, it's like we still have to function as a congregation whether you're here or not. Yeah. And again, we never made tithing an issue, because we just said, you know, Father, you know, you meet our needs. But he says, no, my people have to be taught. And it's our job to teach, you know, and teach you the truth of the word, again, especially us who pride ourselves in being Torah observant.
Yeah.
Shame on us
if
we look for excuses not to obey God.
If everybody that thinks they're better than the church is following Torah principles, then what is our problem? Why we can't tithe and they can?
Amen.
What separates us from them?
Actually, they're doing a lot of Torah principles.
Right.
Aren't they feeding the poor? Aren't they clothing people? They're doing Torah principles.
Right. If someone comes up and asks the pastor, well, and I have this problem, I can't meet my rent this month. That's what the tithe is for, is to do this so it helps you and benefits you.
And also, so again, I believe in God that I can be a full-time minister.
Amen. We've been believing that for 10 years.
You know, truthfully, you know, again, the Father told me, you know, you've got to pull back a little. Because my body, again, you know,
you can't work.
The stress.
An 80-hour week.
And I can't give my best. Because there's so much, you know, there's so much I need to do. And, you know, again, the reason why Rico and all these teachers can do all these great teachings, because they don't have to work. They're supported by the tithe.
Yeah.
They're supported, you know, by offerings, you know, and they're able to do that, okay? And we want to see, again, this, I want to see down the road other people saying, you know, God's called me to teach. Great. I'll give you a class. And here's what you do, I'll help you and train you. But right now, it's like I got to stand back because I have to get my strength renewed. I need to get before the Father. I need to
we need to get.
You know, well, yes, you and I say me. I mean, we're one. We're one. Yeah, no. Hallelujah. You understand when I say me is we, right?
Yes.
Okay, hallelujah. We love you, Rabbi Scott.
Well, we love you. Well, I love you, too. You know,
amen.
It's like, and you guys.
Hallelujah.
Which I love her
so,
more.
So, again, it's like we have to go forward in Messiah. You know,
amen.
I'm 60 years old now.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm believing God I got a good 20 years left in this body.
Amen.
If not more.
Amen.
I have to tell you this, Rabbi. I told Jerry, says, so how old is Rabbi getting to be? I says, she's, I think she's going to be 60. He says, no. I says, yeah, I'm serious. And, but he didn't want to believe
no
me.
Bite, no, was it Botox? No facelift.
And she looks good.
Yeah.
And someone told me one day that she looks good. And I said, well, I'll tell her that. And I told you that. And you go, oh, well. Praise God. Why didn't they just come and tell
Jerry
me
Jerry was really surprised.
Well, hallelujah. Our youth is renewed like the eagle.
The eagle.
You know what the eagle does? To, you know, I don't know if you know this. I'm going to shut this off now.